I'm very pleased to welcome back to Fremantle Shipping News, Hannah Fitzharding, the new mayor of Fremantle. Welcome, Hannah.
Thank you. I'm still getting used to hearing that sentence.
I suppose the days have gone, have they, when mayors were your worship or some grand title?
I've heard some variations on that. Certainly your worship, the lady mayor is the one I can't quite swallow, but I'm not even sure officially if there is an ability to call me those kind of things. I think Mayor Hannah feels about the level I'm at.
Mayor Hannah. Anyway, congratulations. You had a resounding success last Saturday night.
Yeah, it was a nice endorsement. It felt like Fremantle said, look, we do want progressive leadership. We are heading in the right direction. We all know the issues that need resolving, but it really felt like an affirmation that Freo is a great place to live and to work and to be, and that we all love it very much.
Well, I'm guessing since Saturday night, when you discovered about 10 o'clock or so that you'd succeeded, that things have been fairly whirlwind until now.
Completely whirlwind. And, you know, an election campaign is one thing. Sort of getting your head around what happens next is quite something else. So it's been a funny week. I've kind of been sitting in the office and wondering if somebody's going to sort of kick me out, or, you know, just getting used to the idea. I've had a million briefings. I've tried to sort of talk about some of the things that I want to do, but, you know, also organising my thoughts to think how can I best organise all the things that, you know, that we want to get happening.
So you haven't had some junior member of staff wander into the office when you're in it and asking you who you are and what you're doing there?
No, everyone's been hugely friendly. It's been good so far.
Now, when it comes to the future, you just started to address that. As you say, in a sense, everybody knows what the challenges are for Fremantle. They've all been listed ad nauseum in a way by all the candidates for mayor and all the candidates for seats on the council over the course of the campaign. But what do you hope to achieve, putting it in that famous sort of political context, in the first 100 days in office? That would take you up to towards the end of January.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I mean, the mayor works with a group of elected members. So on Monday night, we're sitting down to say, hey, you know, what are the priorities? What did you hear when you were out there campaigning? Because, you know, it's, if you imagine it, we've really just done a huge community engagement process, and we'd be silly to waste the outcomes of that. Certainly the things that I heard and the things that I'll be putting on the table, people are very keen to start that conversation with Notre Dame. And, you know, I think that's timely that we get that started in the next 100 days.
And for people who haven't perhaps caught up with that, Notre Dame, because of its educational status, doesn't have to pay rates and taxes. So council doesn't receive any direct financial contribution from them.
And I think a sort of first principles conversation where we really say, what does it look like to be a university town? What can we agree would be a great way for a university to interact with the rest of the city? And I think if we work from there, we can have a really constructive conversation about our shared future.
Yes. Well, Notre Dame is obviously a very important part of Fremantle these days. It's no point, as some people perhaps still do, debate whether they should be there. They are. There's all of those wonderful young students and older ones who come and populate the streets, not all day and all night, but for a lot of the time.
I think there's huge opportunity embedded in that. You know, a lot of students, when, you know, I was talking about Notre Dame during the campaign, came up to me and said, we would love to be able to live in Fremantle. We board at St George's or Trinity up near UWA and catch the bus to come to Notre Dame.
Wow.
I know. And I thought, gosh, that's a missed opportunity. So I do think there's some real advancements we can make.
Having residential accommodation for students, wouldn't that be interesting?
Absolutely.
So I can see how that fits in, setting up a conversation with the relatively new and very impressive Vice Chancellor of the university. So what else falls into the 100 days achievements?
I think there's some things, again, I'm going to say start a conversation a few times, and really it is with a few of these things.
Yes.
So things like the cat bus, you know, we really need to look at our cat bus routes and layout and frequency. I think we need to reimagine the cat bus as a bit of a sort of a people mover, and think about where is it that people are trying to move from and to, and that might not be constrained to our boundaries. So if we look down towards, you know, I think it's called South Beach now, but North Coogee.
Yes.
You know, how do those people want to move around? Where are they trying to get to? You know, that takes us into discussions with Coburn. I think if we look at East Freo and East Street and, you know, the successive Jetty Bar and things around there, you know, George Street. How can we move people around there better? And I think that sort of changes the frame for the conversation. I think we also have to look at the state government and say, well, you know, you've announced new CAT buses to UWA, you've got the Joondalup CAT, which is now electric. There's some things there we'd really like to look at in terms of different contribution arrangements, again, yes. Notre Dame in the mix.
That people moving is really important. I've sometimes looked at the bus going past, where I live in South Fremantle, thinking it looks pretty empty. I'm wondering whether one should have smaller CAT buses that can be more nimble, go down High Street or
quite
somewhere.
Quite possibly, yes. So I think we need to have another look at that, because I do think public transport is a huge part of our future. You know, we always hear about parking, and by the way, parking review comes up in the next 100 days.
Oh, right.
As well, looking at, you know, everything from where should we be locating parking through to residential permits, things like that.
Well, it's a very important issue. I mean, people grumble about it for many reasons. A, that you sometimes have to pay, that it's not easy to find, and both of those things are regular gripes.
So it needs to...
That'll come up for review. Well, if that's an open meeting, there'll be a lot of ratepayers there, I suspect.
Yeah.
And what else comes up in the 100 days? We've also got a Wallyalup court.
Well, yes. Yeah, so this is going to be a hugely exciting time. I mean, you know, I've had this very interesting process of my calendar suddenly being populated with all of these things. But some of the stuff I'm most excited about, firstly, the Biennale, which hits us in a week. And I think, you know, very excited about all of that. But yeah, the move in to the Wallyalup Civic Centre is imminent. And I mean, I'm so excited. I have to say I'm excited, but I also am very grateful to the people who made the decision, you know, which I wasn't one of them, to undertake this project. When I look around and I see the library and I see all these meeting rooms and fantastic things that are going to be available for our community, I just can't wait to throw open the doors.
Well, and you'll get the honour.
I will. It's quite amazing.
The thing that gets a lot of people going, whatever their position, whether or not they're in commerce, whether they're traders, whether they're just punters who like to spend money buying things, is the commercial, or if you like, the shopping heart of Fremantle. People go on about the empty shops and how we can encourage people to get landlords to look after their tenants better, and more generally just getting people into Fremantle, getting the right mix of businesses. There's no magic wand for all of that, but is there something the council can initiate or encourage in all of that?
Yeah, and this is where the sort of facilitator, you know, that's sort of been my day job, where that comes out in me, because I had so many discussions about this during the campaign, and everyone has a perspective on why it is that landlords and potential, you know, retailers can't reach agreement. And I want to hold a bit of a summit. I want to get people together and really put on the table, what are the barriers and can we agree what those barriers are? Because what I hear is a little bit of finger pointing, and some of it's probably entirely true. But once we can agree what those barriers are, we can work out what we can do about them. I mean, certainly there are some local government mechanisms, most particularly, I guess, differential rates, that we can look at. But I don't kind of want to come in with a big stick without actually understanding what we're trying to apply that stick to. But I saw a list the other day of the kind of shops that would love to move into Fremantle. You know, there's everything from kind of, you know, bakeries through to hairdressers, through to knife sharpeners, through to electricians and drone manufacturers and robotics. So do we want those people in Fremantle? Absolutely. We do. So we need to find a way to break through this.
Well, I have to say, I thought the idea of a summit where you bring a whole lot of experienced people, businessmen, land developers, people who actually have done and continue to do things in Fremantle, who have views that one really needs to take care of, note, plus all the other people who have ideas to make it work.
Yeah.
With goodwill, there might be some brilliant ideas.
This is what I think. And I think philosophically, that's something I feel really strongly about, is that there are great ideas in our community. There are great ideas in the officers who work for council. My job is to kind of find those great ideas, get behind them, you know, breathe some life and energy into them. And I think we can solve some fairly complex problems.
Yes. And what else? Are there some you know, not secret issues, but other burning issues that you'd love eventually to pursue during your first term as mayor?
Well, the first term, and I'm very conscious that 4 years sounds like a really long time, and it is not a really long time. And I do feel a little sorry for the officers of council who've probably seen me come in and, you know, with all this sort of kind of enthusiasm to get stuff done now, you know. But I do think we need to start on some of these things because it will take a little while for them to wash through. The other one that's a big one for me, and I know candidates will raise, and candidates now, they're councillors in fact, will raise this with me on Monday night, is sporting clubs. So a lot of our sporting clubs are in very tenuous sort of lease arrangements, which, you know, to give the city, I guess some credit, but also some feedback, we've spent a long time working on a community sports facility plan, which allows us to finalise some of these arrangements. It's causing real trouble for a whole bunch of our sporting clubs, and I think we need to move pretty quickly now to give security of tenure to those sporting clubs who, you know, we can see staying in our community for a long time, and let them move forward with their own plans, which sometimes include, you know, investment from their side to kind of try and build up sporting clubs. So I do think that's a top issue that we need to deal with before Christmas, because I'd hate to see them all moving into another year thinking, gosh, what does our future look like?
And without going on at too much length about it, as you look just beyond the 100 days into that first calendar year, what do you think are going to be the biggest challenges?
Challenges and opportunities. One of the conversations that I think we all agree we need to have with the community, and people have come at this from different angles, is around our budget and the financials and the different levers that we have, which are fairly quite limited in a local government context, to either change our income or change our expenditure. So I think over a number of years we can develop an engagement process that helps our community have more of a say in that. But right from the get-go, I'm keen to start being very transparent about that, to say, look, there's not a lot. If we want to do free parking, that has a massive impact on our budget. Maybe that is everyone's number one priority, but then what services do we get rid of? Because we can't have both of those realities at the same time.
So that nearly falls into the summit class as well, but I guess it means a big conversation that the council has to help people understand how the city finances work.
Yeah.
If you're going to drop this, you have to raise that. And if you're going to have a differential rate to improve amenities in a certain locality, well, are people prepared to buy that?
Yeah.
And so on.
Yeah. And that's situated even in a longer term or longer frame conversation that we'll have around the strategic community plan as well. So we're due to renew our 10-year strategic community plan this year. And that is very much a participatory process. You know, it comes up from the community. So I think in doing that, we can talk about, you know, what are the challenges and opportunities with our budget right now, but also, where do we want that to be in 10 years' time?
Yes. 10 years, it's a damn long time, isn't it?
Although they go really quickly, which is disturbing. So.
Well, I think I got my personal plans down to 3 years, but probably local government has to think a little beyond that. Yes.
Yeah, and the future of Fremantle and the port move and that conversation that's going on at more of a state government level gives us a real opportunity to say, well, what do we imagine, you know, building over the next 10 years that means that we have a strong economic base, a strong population base moving forward.
And one assumes, even though it's not entirely in their control, that the city will want to be vitally interested in what happens north up to Leighton of the port, because that's going to be a major redevelopment over the next 10, 15 years.
And some of the ideas and I guess opportunities around that are things like, you know, the whole position put forward by Leighton Action Coalition around, you know, having a real people's park, setting back development, which both, you know, has a nice aspect for the community, but also means that we're future-proofing against climate change. And climate adaptation will be a big topic, I think, for our community strategic plan will be, you know, what does it look like as sea levels rise?
Now, they're all of the fascinating things that Fremantle people talk about and I think generally agree about. How you achieve all of those things is where the debate sets in very often. But then you have in a sense, not the mundane, but the day-to-day jobs as not just as a councillor, but now as mayor. So are you going to have to field 25 telephone calls or texts before breakfast and deal with people's rubbish bins not having been collected and all that sort of stuff?
I have to make a terrible confession. I can see on my phone there are 65 text messages that have not been opened. I've never been in this position before. This is, you know, the ability just to respond is huge. And I sort of have an analogy around, you could do this job by standing under the waterfall. You know, everything just falls on your head whether you like it or not. Would you actually get anything done if you were standing underneath the waterfall? Well, probably not. So the challenge for me is, how do I step out from the waterfall and say, actually, this is some stuff that I proactively really want to see us do? And that's going to be a constant tension, I think.
I guess you'll learn more about what the office and the role of the mayor is, even though you've been watching Brad Pettit performing it for a little while. But do you have helpers? Do you have dedicated staff? Can you have someone else respond to the texts?
We are somewhat working on that at the moment. I mean, I've sort of do come from, I guess, a more corporate professional background where I've always had an executive assistant and things like that. But working out how that works best in a mayoral context is different, because accessibility is key. I don't want to be someone who's surrounded by gatekeepers and very hard to talk to. And, you know, I think I use the term a coffee shop mayor. I want to be someone you can come up to and have a chat. The challenge for me is, if you come and raise an issue with me, I'd like there to be some action that comes back to you as well. So I need some support to make sure that eventuates. The diary thing is interesting. What do you give priority to? You know, and I really am trying to align that to where I see value. So I think the mayor has to be a huge advocate for Fremantle. So anywhere that I can go out and advocate for Fremantle's interests, I will be there. I think I need to be accessible to people. So where I know that I'm going to be mixing with a lot of people in the community and they're going to have an opportunity to speak to me, I'll absolutely be there. So it's kind of deciding those things that have the most benefit in terms of doing the role in a valuable way, and then probably saying no to some of the things where, you know, you're going to sit in a dark auditorium for 3 hours and, you know.
I suspect this wouldn't be a good idea, but do you contemplate things like meet Hannah on Monument Hill on Sunday morning at 8:30?
Absolutely. So I really do want to have an engagement schedule that says I'm out and about. I mean, I think it's been trialled before, and sometimes when you advertise, it's a bit lonely. You know, see the mayor sitting there waiting for someone to walk up. And I think the trick is to be where everyone is, and for people to know who you are and know that they can approach you and that you're accessible. And so, yeah, I certainly won't be locked away in my office. I think the other lovely thing about moving into the Wallilup Civic Centre and into Wallilup Court is that there's a whole lot of sort of open space there that we can use to be accessible. Mm. So the visitor centre there and all of that sort of, you know, outdoor furniture that I expect to be sitting out there and having people wander up and go, oh, hey, you know.
Would you like a game of table tennis?
Yeah, exactly. Hopefully not chess, because we're not great at chess, but table tennis I might be able to manage.
Well, you have to play things where they can beat you.
Yeah, that won't be hard.
I've been impressed during the COVID period with the webinars. Mm. I've become a real fan of webinars.
Yeah.
Maybe that's something to be thought about, because many people can tune in, hear a range of questions, ask their own.
Yeah.
You don't have to go and sit on a lonely Monument Hill at 8:30 on a Sunday morning.
Yeah, I think we really need to look at that. And I think some of the stuff I loved doing during the campaign was engaging with younger people as well.
Yes.
And saying, how do you want to engage with your elected representatives? Because my sense is that the current mechanisms aren't really working. And there was definitely some feedback around. Part of it's about accessibility and knowing that, you know, there's an open door and you're just welcome to walk up and have a chat. Certainly using Instagram and some of those kind of social media platforms, not something I would have traditionally kind of jumped into for engagement, but maybe those are the ways we have to go as well.
We certainly have to think about it. We all do, yes. Well, yeah. And soon Facebook apparently will be changing its name, so... Might be a much nicer
Any
world.
Any tips on what the new name might be? Yeah, I think it's interesting moving away from this traditional media environment, and you know, this we've moved away right now. We're in a lounge room with a podcast, but
absolutely,
it does mean that you can get you know, a much broader reach with, and much more engagement actually. Mm. So,
well, it's absolutely true, and the Fremantle Shipping News is entirely online. Mm. And we use social media as well to broadcast it. But the stories concerning local governments and the mayor have had over a couple of thousand hits in the last week. It's people want to know about what's going on in their local area.
Yeah, and I want to know what's going on in their lives. So I appreciate all the work you do bringing us stories from all over Fremantle.
Well, Hannah, thanks for making yourself available today, because I know you do have a busy schedule. This will go out to the Fremantle people very soon, and they'll be able to hear just what we're talking about.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot. Bye for now, and good luck with everything.
Thank you.